and welcome to episode number 15 of WP Late Night. Kind of a milestone, actually. 15 episodes.
Booyah.
This is a big deal.
Sir.
Many podcasts don't make it this far. I am Ryan Immel with Dre Armada, joined by special guest Tony Perez, filling in for Brad Williams this week. Thanks for hanging out with us, Tony.
No problem. I got that request, and I was like, you know what? I just can't pass it up.
you're a substitute Brad.
Can't you see the resemblance?
We'll have to make sure to include a screenshot in the show notes for everyone.
Spitting image.
Spitting image.
He's my close relative.
No, but yeah, we were just saying before we got started, there's a crazy amount of stuff going on right now for us to talk about, so it definitely won't be a quiet show. But before we do that, what is everybody drinking? And then we'll jump into like what people have been up to lately. So, Dre, what are you drinking right now?
I got a little shock top action today. So I moved away from my usual ship beer, and I'm rocking some Belgian white today.
Good deal.
And I'm rocking a little bit customized action here with my iced tea and a little bit of special something something in there, keeping me going with a little hit of Valium so that I'm not too excited.
And we all appreciate that. Now, and then mine's just a rum and cola, so nothing too exciting.
Yeah, Tony's going to be doing touch and goes as we ask questions. What happened? Waking up mid sentence.
No, it's okay. It'll be fine. I'll only pass out once or twice.
So, what's everyone up to, Dre? What's new for you in the last 7 days or so?
Well, craziness. I know we've you and I have worked a little bit on some marketing materials for the show.
Yes,
so
we
that's
have.
Kind of exciting.
Exciting
very.
News.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good stuff. I think that that's going to help us kind of continue growing the show, which organically it's done a pretty good job already. Maybe we can take it to the next step. Short of that, on the personal side, I took the kids to the San Diego Wild Animal Park at the end of last week, which is a good time. I actually enjoyed it as much, if not more, than the San Diego Zoo. So that was a neat time over there. And beyond that, I wish I was in Bermuda with our fellow co-host Brad Williams. Congratulations to him on his wedding to April this week, and many years of happiness I wish upon them.
Absolutely, and if Brad was here, he would have the applause sound effects for himself. So just imagine that. Yeah.
On cue, I love it.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Tony?
Man, you know, I've been up to a couple of different things. As of late, and in case you haven't been following kind of our company posts and whatnot, I've been in this writing mood. I don't know what's come over me, and I was messing with Dre the other day, and I was like, it only took me 2 years to start blogging. And he's like, I've been working on this since back in the day and I still don't blog. I was like, oh, like touche. Mm-hmm. But so I've been doing a lot of writing, not just on our company site but also on our personal site, and kicked off a new little initiative of mine. But then I also spent this weekend kind of installing WordPress for the first time on my own, all via terminal, meaning configuring the entire server, to installing the application, to configuring it, to hardening it, the whole nine yards. It was a great experience, and something that I just haven't done. And it was really fun. I learned a lot doing that, and so I was pretty excited about that. I put a little post out on that this past weekend.
Sounds interesting.
And there's been another thing. I mentioned it just before we got started, but I've been setting up a bunch of little sandboxes, kind of messing around with a bunch of different malware variants and whatnot. And I've seen a lot of discussion on kind of effective tools for monitoring and whatnot in WordPress. And so I've decided to kind of just go in there and do some independent reviews on that and been kind of posting on that as well. So it's been pretty fun. It's exciting.
Cool stuff. Man, yeah. Got to think of a bunch of stuff I've been doing. I'll have to make sure I get all those blog posts you mentioned to get them linked up in the notes.
Yeah. So how's it feel to be like Dre and completely useless when this guy's writing, new novels weekly? It's good stuff.
Yeah. No kidding.
I was telling Dre, it's the weirdest thing. It's like once you get that bug in you, you just kind of want to write. And it's really, really cool experience. Not something that I've experienced before, so it's pretty neat. I've been having fun with it.
That's awesome, and you definitely want to take advantage of it while it's there. It's sort of like any other sort of inspiration. You got to grab it while it's hot.
Yeah, I don't know that bug sticks around forever. I know in my case, I'm like a repellent. It's just never going to happen. The whole writing bug is definitely something that I have not been bit by yet.
Yeah.
So let's see, like, Dre, you mentioned doing some stuff in preparation for kind of growing WP Late Night. We also have a programming note, I guess, an upcoming new show with Dre here called Ask Dre. If you haven't read about that yet, that's on the blog. I'll make sure it's linked up in the show notes. Very excited about that one. Should have something on that in the next week or so.
I'm super jazzed about it.
We've been prepping and planning that for, it seems like, forever. So it's exciting to see it coming together now.
I'm excited. And I know when we really started hitting it hard over the last week or so in terms of setting it up, getting the post out, really discussing format and the whole nine, it's every day we at least send a quick note to each other like, what's up, dude? This is kind of cool. Really excited about getting it moving. So, yeah, and for those that haven't seen it and haven't checked out the blog post on WPCandy.com, which it's up there now, it's really to start discussion from the community around security, right? What type of questions do you have about security? Is there something that's been bugging you or just something that you need clarification on in terms of security for WordPress that we can help you with? So if you tweet that out with the hashtag AskDre or actually comment on that blog post, we'll do our best to grab those questions and put them out in video format on the site.
Yep. Going to be very cool. It's actually going to be fun to experiment some with video podcasting as well. So
when is that going, guys?
When is it like up?
When is your first, what's the first date?
We don't have the first published date. I know that we are recording in the next few days because we have gathered enough questions to make it the first probably couple episodes to record enough for that. And then after that, it's just a matter of how long it takes to produce and get it posted.
So it's not going to be a live session.
No. It'll be recorded and then posted. I don't know if anybody wants to see us and our unrehearsed craziness while getting it all recorded. But
we want to make sure we're putting out accurate content and stuff too. On the fly may not be as helpful as being able to provide some really backed up data for them to take action on. But the exciting thing is we're going to do videos. We're going to take those questions. We're going to give some love to the people that ask those questions, and then from there we'll get them resources to help them along the way with whatever questions they have.
Good deal.
Absolutely. So speaking of security, there are a handful of things to talk about this week, but the one that I thought would be fitting to dig right into, because I can't think of two better people to have on to kind of dig into this. Envato's Tuts Plus ran into a situation this week.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I saw that. Server compromised.
Yes.
Yeah, server compromised and credentials being stored in the clear, specifically their passwords. And it's a shame, especially after the recent releases about 2 weeks ago with LinkedIn, eHarmony, Last.fm, TechGadget also got compromised about this week, actually. It's really unfortunate to see that even after all that commotion that this can still happen with some of these entities. It's a shame, especially when you look at the recent vulnerability with MySQL, specifically it's being made accessible to the public. That's all it takes is that specific vulnerability grants them access to your environment. With that access, then all that information being stored in the clear gets compromised. The act itself of storing it in the clear is not the vulnerability. It's getting access and then the improper storage of that information. And what folks need to understand is that no sysadmin needs your password. There should be controls in place that allow them to log in as an administrator or with some kind of administrator panel of some kind that bypasses your credentials to allow them to do what they need to do. So for them to store it that way, it's just bad practice.
Right. And of course, you're referring to they were storing all the passwords in plain text via a plugin that was helping. And so, just to be clear, this is, they say, only affecting Tuts Plus. They say that their marketplace is... a different system. I still would,
That begs the question. I mean, I think that they got listed on the Envato site alone like six or seven different entry points to different properties. The marketplace alone has, I don't know, five or six different properties. This is billing information. These are credentials. This is sensitive information that they have on the server for hundreds and thousands of different clients. The question there is this happening across the rest of their platforms? And will we know? Will it be an independent third party audit I don't trust the systems. I don't personally use them, so it's not that big of a deal. But it affects thousands of people. Now there was a in the actual disclosure post that they put out, and I reference this directly from that. They state to all Toots Plus premium account holders and all Envato members who trust us with their private information, we are so sorry that this happened. Well, shit, if you guys are that big with that many customers, you're going to tell me that you didn't know that it's bad to do what you're doing, that you weren't putting yourself and your customers in a vulnerable position by storing that data that way. You know, to me, that sorry is more of a sorry that I got caught versus sorry that they got your stuff, right?
Yeah.
They know better than that. And again, I think Envato's doing cool stuff. I just don't buy it. That to me is very scary, especially in light, you know, like what Tony's talking about here, in light of all the issues that have been going on.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of the things I was listening to a webinar today by White Hat. And in it, they were talking about vulnerabilities and why they stay as vulnerabilities and how long they stay as vulnerabilities. And one of the things they mentioned was companies and their it's not going to happen to me attitude, or their lack of respect for the interweb, specifically web security, and the vulnerability that they put themselves in by not paying special attention to web security. And it seems like that's something that's happened here. I have to think that the individuals there are highly intelligent beings and that they understand the importance of applying some level of hashing to passwords and the lack of need to have your password stored in clear text. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. And so what that then leads me to believe is that if that's the case and they're intelligent beings and they recognize that, then why was that not addressed? Why was it just put to the side and said, we're gonna run the risk, especially when you're dealing with other people's information. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's my issue with it.
In the update that Collis posted, which I linked up in the chat room and in the show notes as well, he kind of explained, not to justify it, but just explained some of the background and said that, you know, he sees his mistake as prioritizing incorrectly, which is obvious, but he said that at the time that they set it up, they knew it wasn't going to, their system wasn't going to last for them, so they put the effort behind building a brand new system from the ground up, which was taking them longer and was obviously more complex than patching a current system. So that seems to be part of what played into what eventually led to them being compromised. Looks like they're offering some limited refunds to current members and then free access to any affected users. And, you know, obviously at this point they're just trying to, you know, recover and you know, patch up whatever they can. Never a fun situation.
No, I mean, you know, they're taking action and that's fine. They've been open about it and that that is a responsible disclosure in terms of getting that out to the public, letting people know that they've been affected. So I do commend them on that. But to Tony's point, you know, they are intelligent people. They wouldn't be where they're at today if they were a bunch of knuckleheads. They're smart folks. And, you know, to me, to put your customers' information and their information's privacy, the practices that you have around that as a low priority item, that shows a major lapse in judgment. And I think that's going to really put them in a rough spot. That's not the right thing to do.
Yeah,
definitely not.
Yeah. But on that note, though, I mean, talking about security issues and updates and kind of taking ownership and whatnot, how about today's release on 3.4.1 and 3.3.3?
Yeah, and it seemed it was a multi-site issue, right? The WordPress security team caught and seemed to have fixed.
Right. Yeah, it was a the main issue in it, that the one, you know, it's not the skies are falling kind of patch, you know what I mean?
Sure,
by no means. But it is specific. The main issue that was addressed in it was specific to multi-site users. Mm-hmm. And along that, there were a number of other updates and enhancements and hardening techniques applied to the build, and I had a good opportunity to chat with Nathan about that this afternoon, and it's how we put together our post, and he's updated his releases as well that better explain kind of all the issues that were found and addressed and whatnot. And I think it's pretty cool. I think one of the things that I actually learned in that was I didn't know this. I don't know why, but for whatever reason. But they actually maintain two branches at all times. They maintain the most recent release and then one version behind. So, for instance, we're at 3.4.1 now, and they pushed out a 3.3.3. The idea is not that it's acceptable to stay at a lower version, but it's their due diligence to ensure that for whatever reason, if you can't get to 3.4, which is a major update for whatever reason, they want to make sure that they've helped you out by patching that that branch as well. And so 3.3.3 is released for those folks that can't get to 3.4 for whatever reason. And I commend them for that. I think that's pretty cool that they do that.
Absolutely.
That's a good tidbit that a lot of folks probably don't realize that. So that's a very good tidbit there, Tony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought that was neat, too.
A couple of other bug fixes in it, but, I mean, overall, nothing really big because, like Nathan said in the post on WordPress.org, it's been a pretty quiet release, and that's great news for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
No real problems creeped up, and I think, as he pointed out, which, there's another sad thing we missed with Brad not here, his gong as he looks at the WordPress download counts. looks like just out. What are we? Are we 2 weeks out now from 3.4?
Yes.
Yeah. So
just 2 weeks out.
Just over 3 million total downloads. So
in 2 weeks, that's bananas, man.
That is craziness. And it's still moving pretty fast. So that's pretty cool stuff.
Does WordPress? I don't know if this. I don't know the answer to this, but does WordPress.com do they update everybody automatically? Or is that easier to do? Do you know?
You mean like across the WordPress.com network?
Yeah, so everybody that's on that network, do they get automatically updated, or is that on the end user to do on themselves?
Yeah, they do all of that, and actually they're usually running, honestly, sometimes they're running betas, but definitely by the time release candidates come around, WordPress.com is usually up to date with those, which they use to kind of help test different new features.
All right, on.
See how they work. So yeah, those should have all been pretty much updated right away. And I'm slacking because I know, Dre, I told you 2 weeks ago that I want to find out more about WordPress-specific hosts and what they do. Mm-hmm. Still working on that, so I'll get back to us about that soon. But
that'll be good.
Just know I haven't forgotten about it.
I got it.
So speaking of WordPress development, man, we are rocking these segues.
Oh, this is fire.
So this really caught my eye, and I haven't been able to spend as much time with it quite yet. But this is from the make.wordpress.org/UI blog. It's actually the last one on our first list there in the notes. And there's three posts, actually. Dave Martin, who works for Automattic, has been a designer there for 2 years and has recently started contributing to the WordPress UI group. And he's been posting what he calls kind of discovery. Well, they're basically user tests that are done by video. I think he's using... what does he say, the service that he's using? I forget. I'll find it somewhere in here. And basically posting the feedback, or I guess the experiences that these users are having trying to complete specific tasks within the WordPress dashboard. And it's super interesting stuff. I mean, things like, one of the steps given to a user is preview your blog. And then they, include the instructions that are given to the user, and then they take their notes, time code showing what the user did and when. So they can kind of track what they're looking at, what they're clicking on.
He was using usertesting.com.
Usertesting.com.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty neat. That reminds me of it's a little bit off topic, but before I kind of went full time with whatever it is that I do now, in 2009, 2008, I used to travel a lot. I used to put about 160,000 miles in the air each year. In one of my many travels, I was in the lounge area of the airport, and I walked in, and they said, "Hey, do you want to do some trial tests for us on the website?" I said, "No problem." So I sat down, and it was this really cool app, and I don't think it's like this, but what they would do is they gave me a number of use cases and said, "Okay, we want you to do X, Y, and Z on the airline's website, no problem." And I would follow it, and they would track my eyes as I was doing it to understand kind of usability and experience and whatnot. And I think that's really cool, and it sounds like that's what he's doing here, but obviously without that, tracking of the eyes, but just kind of getting a sense for how they do things. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, cool. and a number of, just digging in, you can find all sorts of things that kind of will throw people off as they use them. The one that I did catch while I was reading through earlier today, I think it's pulling up the preview, either of a post, or I think there's another preview site link that does this, but the preview link pulls open a new tab. And I think that threw some people. They didn't realize that they were now in a new, you know, new screen, even if it wasn't the same browser. So there's some discussion going on in the comments just immediately after this is posted saying, well, hey, what if we, you know, what if we integrated some sort of a different experience where it was clear via the toolbar where you were, and maybe it didn't open a new tab, maybe it just went into like a new screen somehow. So this is the kind of stuff that is really exciting, because really interesting information and actionable steps to fix it can come really quickly.
So are you thinking that this is an effort to kind of redo the entire back-end interface in terms of like the admin panel and whatnot? Or is it just kind of like, oh, let's just see how it works?
You know, I'm not sure what the... I mean, I think the intended use, or the intended goal, I guess, in the long term, I mean, you know, Matt Mullenweg said it not too long ago that, you know, in another year we'll see a radically different WordPress to take into account mobile use cases and things like that. I think in this case it's probably more about, you know, subtle improvements. If I had to guess, and I don't know this for a fact, but if I had to guess, I think we'd see drastic changes coming through via plugins and things like that to kind of test things out first. I mean, you can't, you know, and any sort of drastic change would have to really, really be proven before anything like that happened. But there's some really, the names escape me, but there's some really awesome people I've seen on Twitter kind of brainstorming about kind of putting a plugin together specifically just to kind of radically reinvent the dashboard, that are really kind of fun ideas, you know, and fun sort of side projects for those that, you know, kind of geek out and think a lot about user experience and how the dashboard works and get excited by different types of buttons. Like, it's a really, you know, if you're that kind of person and you're not on make.wordpress.org/UI yet, you really should be.
Yes. I want to meet that person and get excited about buttons. You know what I mean?
You don't get excited about buttons?
Buttons are awesome.
It's one of those things. It just does not get me riled up, you know?
Uh-huh.
But I really want, you know, I mean, you know, you got those that also place all that emphasis on pixels. Like, I got to move it over 2 pixels. It's just not me. It's cool.
That was another one of the nice parts about working on some of this marketing stuff with Dre, is, you know, we're throwing these images back and forth and kind of getting a little bit of that, like, oh, let's change this a little bit over here. Okay, I tweaked this just a tad, like 5 pixels over here. How's that look? So
I kind of have to ask you guys, you know, do you really think that the public cares? Do you really think that, like I know that you look at it and you say, oh, it's just perfect, but do you really think that the basic end user is going to recognize that and say, you know what? That placement was just ideal. And those few pixels that you moved did the difference.
Absolutely. In some cases, that can mean the difference between the sale or not getting them to ever come back and visit.
No doubt. What I think is really interesting about it, too, is that if it works, it's probably not something they'll notice.
Yep.
You know, that's the success, is when it's just, you know, that good or that... you know, not seamless, but that natural, which I think is kind of the goal with a lot of WordPress, you know, specifically dashboard UI stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's been making strides, particularly since the Crazy Horse experiments in 2.7.
Yes, it has.
what are you doing there? That's you just opening up a crazy case?
That sound is okay because Dre's getting a drink, so that makes me happy.
Yeah.
You know, there's far too much of it there for us to run down. I mean, we'd have to have a specific, like, user interface podcast to dig into all the stuff, but very fascinating, and I'll make sure that each of the posts is linked up in the show notes.
And I feel like I'm gonna get beat by designers here soon.
Hey, you should write a blog post about it.
There you go.
Wow.
You should probably take that to the next WordCamp you attempt and make it a full-on session presentation.
Why emphasis on pixels does not matter.
Wow, that's a good one. You know, I think that'd go well in San Francisco. The challenge there is that they're already sold out. Have you guys seen that?
It's been crazy.
Well, they're not exactly sold out. What I'm seeing is that they're doing like these minor releases every couple of days, right? I mean, and then they sell out in minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about the whole idea of these like minor releases, but I get the point. You don't want it to sell out within a few minutes, you know, and then everybody's like, I didn't get an opportunity. You know how that goes.
I think they first went up on last Friday.
It was Friday, yeah.
And I actually didn't see, I don't know if either of you guys did, I don't know how many tickets went up initially.
But I know that
somewhere the next morning they were sold out.
How many attendees is it supposed to be?
I actually don't know that. I haven't been able to see the ticket sales at a time when there is a number displayed, so I can't even guesstimate at this point. But I mean, I would expect it to be pretty similar to last year. I don't know why it would be smaller.
Like 600?
Oh, no. I mean, last year, and Dre, I could be wrong, but I think there was like 900, 1,000 or more.
I think it was between 800 and 900, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. Between 800 and 900. So still really big for any WordCamp.
So is Brandon saying 250 for the whole event or just 250 being released at a time?
Probably at a time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, in just in my uneducated research around WordCamp San Francisco, I have no other way to put it, really. Just from what I've been seeing, you know, on social networks and stuff, there happen to be quite a lot of people that I know were there last year and have been historically, but aren't going to be attending this year. Now, I don't know that that's going to influence the total numbers, but hell, my discussions with a lot of, you know, pretty key and influential people in the WordPress world that I've seen that aren't going to be going. So I'm interested to see how it kind of all turns out. I'm sure it'll be fine. It'll be a great event. I mean, the state of the word and the whole nine.
I think if anything, what that'll, you know, so a few people won't go, whatever, you know, influential means, but I still think that it'll get jam packed and sell out and it'll be a phenomenal event. It's just too many people. You know what I mean? It's too big. It kind of has like a mind of its own, I think.
With it selling out like it does, it's almost like the WordPress WWDC, you know. Yeah. Maybe next year it'll be, you know, an hour and a half and the tickets go out. By the time you know, people listen to this, it'll probably be at least Thursday, knowing how we typically go with these shows. But a new batch of general admission tickets will be available Thursday, June 28th at noon Pacific. So
I like how they give you timestamps and everything.
They know exactly what it's going to be.
They're building all that excitement. It's like, I just kind of want to open it up. I want to see how fast it goes, you know?
Absolutely.
At 11:55, I go, use the restroom, come back, and I sit here and I stretch. I work out my fingers, get ready to click. You know what I mean? It's like, damn.
And it should be said that they are also offering the streaming tickets this year as well.
Yes, that's what I see available now. I really like the new logo mark that they put up there and the site design. Very, very, very cool.
It's very pretty. Those pixels do matter.
Indeed they do. That's why the tickets are going so fast, Tony.
Is that what it is? It's those pixels. I wonder... What's the idea behind the paying for streaming? Is anybody else doing that?
You know, I think they're the only one that has. I think the main idea behind them doing it is a way for people to basically get a shirt. That seems to be the main draw. The stream is, you know, I think if I remember right from last year, there's like a password that went out to people so that they could view the stream. But then everybody who paid for the stream also got a shirt, except there's also, I think, a no-shirt stream cost as well. So yeah, I've not known of any other WordCamps to have stream only tickets, but you know, I guess if the stream is quality enough, you know, people are willing to pay. That's really the key.
If you're paying, it better be quality, you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
And I want to share this as I streamed it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it's interesting that they put that into play last year and it seemed to work well.
Yep.
But I know discussions prior to that, especially when we were looking at WordCamp San Diego the first time around, there was a lot of discussion back and forth with the foundation and the powers to be around streaming in general. And I'm not sure they were sold on the idea at the time. Mm-hmm. And there was some pushback in even streaming the event. And at the time, I only recall a few events that had actually live streamed plus the recorded video that obviously goes up on WordPress.tv. But I remember a lot of pushback. And then later on in the year, there's not only streaming, but they were selling admission to the stream. So that maybe things change. I think if it works, run with it. You're expanding the amount of people that could be a part of the event, even if it is virtually. And you might empower one more person to understand a little bit better about WordPress. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, interesting. But speaking of that, what I want to see is see more streaming on some of these international events. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I was looking on the WordCamp Central site. There's like 19 WordCamps going on this summer. Like, holy moly, man. Seriously, is that necessary? That's intense. I like that. But what's awesome is it's not all just U.S. There's a bunch of international ones as well. And one of the ones we're looking at is Sao Paulo in Brazil, obviously being it's kind of our background down there. So, we're really excited, but I think it's really, really cool.
I think what's cool is that you said, holy moly.
I know. I was going to say, like, holy cow, but then I don't know what happened there. I just kind of had a brain fart a little bit.
I'm with you. Not only on the brain fart, but the sheer amount of camps this summer. Now, it's been growing year over year, the amount of camps that you see worldwide. But within just a few months' time frame, we've got 19 camps. I mean, pretty much every weekend. And in some cases, multiple events on the same weekend in different parts of the globe. That's insane. You got to love to see that.
What I would love to see, what I think would be phenomenal, is if we had two events that were occurring on the same weekend, like say one in the Netherlands and one in Podunk, Oklahoma, you know, and like if they were both streaming, how cool would it be to have a track specifically set up so that you can stream that event from say the Netherlands and bring in that knowledge from a completely different city into a much smaller city without a, you know, big group that may not be able to get there, but they can get all that awesome content.
Sure.
I think that'd be really neat. Like, and especially if you can engage with each other, you know?
Yeah.
Am I the only one that really kind of gets excited by that?
No, I think it's really cool. I can't remember the exact camps, but I've done that with, I don't think they were international camps. I think they were both in the US because the time zone was like just an hour or two off, if I recall. But there have definitely been, you know, two camps on one day that both had a stream that you could kind of jump between.
That happened in episode two of Star Wars. It was pretty cool.
You know, we have all this, and just think about business in general, how, you know, the cost in travel, you know, in travel budgets are going down and whatnot. Imagine the ability for a speaker to bring in a speaker from, say, New York and get him a video camera and have him be able to give a presentation from New York live in an event, say, in San Diego, and be able to pull up his screens and talk to it the whole nine yards. I think that'd be a really cool idea if that ever worked, and especially if the crowd can engage with it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You'd think it's feasible, right?
Technically. Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. I've seen some small examples of that at meetups. That's where it's most common. And honestly, in that situation, probably easier to guarantee a solid signal for pulling them in, because once you have 400 plus people, you know, in whatever venue you have, it might just be an issue trying to keep everybody at a fast connection, let alone trying to give a dedicated fast connection to the speaker. So it's definitely possible.
I'd like to see something like that. I mean, and I think as we continue to see growth in the WordCamp world, things like that, I don't think are out of the question. I think we'll start seeing stuff like that. And I think there's been a couple camps. If I'm not mistaken, Nason was involved with one where he was presenting or co-presenting via Skype. I don't remember what event, and I may be misspeaking, but I'm pretty sure it was Nason in the last year or so.
It looks like there's also Brandon Dove in the chat is saying that they did that with J-Trip, John James Jacoby.
There you go.
Orange County year one. So apparently we're behind the times. It's happening.
Obviously, we're just not up with stuff. You know what I mean?
So,
all right. Well, we just shut up and move on. You know what I mean?
Then moving along. Hey, there's plenty of other camps coming up. So we've talked about 19 this summer. I know that here in recent time, the speaker call-outs for WordCamp Chicago 2012 and WordCamp Las Vegas came out. Are you guys going to be attending either of those?
Chicago, most likely, because that's real close by. It's only a couple hours away from me.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Chicago. It all depends on timing, but I did submit to speak at Vegas. I want to take my OC presentation on the road.
Cool.
Yes, sir.
This coming weekend will be WordCamp Reno, which at this point, if you want to speak, you probably can't, because I'm sure that they've got everything full. They're 3 days away. Mm-hmm. That is set in stone. That's happening, and then in about 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, will be WordCamp Columbus, which I'll be going to as well. And I know they are still accepting speakers and plenty of tickets and stuff like that. So check that out if you haven't. I think those are the two most upcoming camps right now.
Well, honorable mention for Grand Rapids, who just got their site up, I believe, in the last couple days. And they're sometime in mid-August as well. So kudos to them. Now, as far as me, yeah, that's funny that Shelby just brought up the Heart Attack Grill. We did that for WordCamp Las Vegas last year. That is absolutely in order again. The vanilla milkshakes are the best in life. I know Tony was hurting for 3 days after this. This is by far one of the most amazing burgers I've ever eaten. I will be at Las Vegas this year, no doubt. It's 3 hours down the road, and Chicago's definitely a maybe on the schedule.
I was sweating profusely. My veins were hurting. And I guess the only question I have for you Vegas guys is, didn't somebody just literally have a heart attack there?
Yes.
I just want to make sure I understand that. Because if that's the case, I don't know how I feel about that. My heart doesn't know how I feel. Like, it's hurting right now just thinking about it.
Yeah, that has to do with the thought of the burger, I tell you. Just saying.
Okay. Those vanilla ice cream shakes, that's what's up.
Best in the world ever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Ryan, you got to make it down this year. I'll tell you what, Vegas puts on a great event. I've been the last 2 or 3 years, and, man, it's just a good time. Definitely a good time.
Absolutely. One thing I'm very curious about, kind of touching back, going back on the camps, is have you guys heard anything on the summit? I mean, there was that big stink, you know, with all that stuff that was going on a few months back, and then the whole discussion on the summit came out and kind of rolling in community members, and then there's voting, and then it's supposed to be in October, and then it just kind of disappeared. Any word on that, guys, on your end, in terms of what's going to happen with that, or kind of how word's going to get out of how the voting went, stuff like that? Any transparency around that?
The last anything that I saw about it was the polling that went up, the nomination forms. That was back in May, I believe. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't been too long. I wouldn't be surprised if there was just a sort of a lull during kind of the push getting 3-4 out. I'd kind of expect to hear something about it before long.
Cool.
But have not quite yet. But I look forward to it. I think it'll be – I mean, there's a lot of promise – you know, whether any of us get to go or not, it's exciting to see kind of specific contributor events happening. So
it's not even a matter of going. It's more of just kind of it's one of those things that you just don't want to lose momentum. You know what I mean? And so it's always good to just kind of bring it up to the forefront again, even though it's going to fall back down. There's other things that are higher priority, more precedence. But you just don't want some of those things that can have big impacts to fall by the wayside.
It'd be scary to see them not have this now after the big push initially. Rumors had it sometime, near November or something was the last thing I had heard. I sure hope they follow through, and I'm interested to see how it all kind of fleshes out.
Yeah, yeah, I'd keep eyes open for it the next week or two. I'm sure we'll hear something. I'm surprised how quickly we tore through those big things. I do want to dip into our second list of topics, which is also great stuff. Before that, a quick programming note. Next week we will have, I would say, world-renowned author, probably.
Yeah.
Lisa Sabin-Wilson, also known from her web development company. And WordPress for Dummies. She's got like 2 or 3 other books, doesn't she? I know she's always announcing new editions of WordPress.
Yeah.
Anyway, you probably already read a book by her. Go look at the author. Like, it's probably there. If you have more than 2 WordPress books, you certainly have probably 1 or 2 by her. So she'll be around next week. We'll probably do some shuffling around with the schedule because next Wednesday, I believe, is the July 4th. So it might be either Tuesday or Thursday. We'll get an announcement out and let everybody know when. But really exciting to have her on. We've been trying to get the schedule fixed for that for a while.
Good deal. I think it's WordPress for Dummies, WordPress All-in-One for Dummies, and
yes,
then
that's the one.
WordPress Design for Dummies. I'm starting to see a trend here with her writing. It's almost like they're tailored for people like me. I don't understand if that's the case or not, so I'm going to have a conversation with her about that.
You might want to pick up that design book. I don't know.
You know, teach about pixels. I mean, I'm talking perfect placement, baby.
Exactly right. I may want to look at that design one.
Now, BBPress 2.1 RC1 is out today. RC1, of course, release candidate 1. And I believe we mentioned one of the betas that was out a week ago, and we didn't really know what was new. So I made a special point of kind of going through the track tickets for this release just to kind of see what some of the new enhancements are for those of us using the BBPress plugin, which is pretty awesome. Some really exciting stuff coming through. One is the ability to modify sticky attributes from the dashboard, which is kind of neat. That was one of those things that, you know, BBPress is one of those kind of hybrid dashboard and front end functionality things, kind of like BuddyPress in a sense. So it's nice to see that coming back through. Excuse me, tons more classes, tons of more hookable areas. Looks like topic and reply edits are going to be run through Akismet as well. They were already run through before, but now they are being run through on edit as well. Apparently, the BBPress 2010 theme files are tableless now, which is fantastic to be able to have a solid form option that is not built in tables. Anybody who's messed around with any form software out there knows that that is by far the predominant form that you'll find them in.
The bulletin.
Excuse me. Exactly. Yes. And actually, as I'm looking at it right now, it looks as though RC2 is either just announced or was just recently tagged. So there you go. Moving quickly. BBPress development, just the way we like it.
Yeah. How is that, Ryan? Speaking of moving quickly and moving into kind of the next realm of things, mm-hmm. If you were in the dev chat, there was a lot of discussion about 3.5 and planning for that, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, it's one of those things you kind of count down the hours after you know, a major release of WordPress is out before someone is on the core team is tagging, you know, 3.5 alpha, just to kind of remind everyone, here we go again.
Yeah.
So actually, did you guys? I didn't get it. I was away from the computer this afternoon. I wasn't able to sit in on the dev chat to see what the discussion was. But I know today was sort of the day to start really brainstorming and putting milestones, or at least putting those down.
Go ahead.
One at a time, gentlemen.
Go ahead. No.
I think the next big date, from what I heard, is July 11th. So I think that's going to be the big day where everybody kind of gets together. And from what I was seeing in the chat, and really starts kind of drafting out those ideas. A lot of good discussion on testing and a couple subgroups to focus on that, which is pretty neat. A lot of good recommendations on new features and things like that. But July 11th seems to be the date that things are really going to kick off and hopefully formalize a bit. In terms of kind of features going in, and then as well as bugs that get addressed from 3.4.1 on or 3.4x or whatever into 3.5, from what I was seeing. Correct me if I'm wrong, anybody.
Sounds right.
Yeah. So the one thing I would say is I think it would be really neat for all the folks that listen in on this that if you don't, try to see if you can engage somehow and contribute in some way, whether it was by fixing a patch or adding some value around design and, you know, the number of pixels and stuff like that, or some documentation or something along those lines, testing or even organization and whatnot. I think that'd be a really cool theme if for this group, the, you know, WP Late Night, if everybody can try to contribute one thing, whatever that one thing is. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be pretty neat.
And honestly, the nice part about kind of jumping in there early with a new release like this is there are going to be so many ways to just kind of leave a mark or be a part of the whole process, which is a thrill. I've been lucky enough I've actually found the time or made the time to contribute a couple of changes. I've got three contributions to core, which is awesome. There's a great plugin out there. I forget the name. I'll look it up for the pick section that just lists off your core contributions in the sidebar of your blog, which is pretty neat. So, I mean, do something like that. And that's always encouraging me. Anytime I go to my blog, my personal blog at least, I'm reminded, oh, yeah, get back in there and contribute because you want that list to be longer. just as a matter of pride, I suppose. But, you know, it doesn't have to be anything massive. You know, Andrew Nason, who's one of the most notable contributors to core now, started out with, what was it, like a 4-character change? Like, yep. He like removed some spaces and changed one character or something like that. It all starts with just minor changes, and everybody can find something. It's just a matter of getting eyeballs on core code. And speaking of, we are nailing this. Speaking of contributing, there is. And it wouldn't be WP Late Night if we didn't point out the segues as they happened.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
You're killing me.
Yeah. So there is, I want to make sure they got the right URL, on the WordPress for iOS development blog, there is a sort of a call out for contributions from a kind of design and UI perspective. There are a whole gallery of mock-ups that Isaac Kiet, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, has posted. and just all sorts of discussions happening. Man, this is like a UI and design show tonight. Lots of different things happening with tweaking design. But speaking of WordPress for mobile, it's really that a lot of these screens are a complete reimagining of the WordPress for iOS interface. So really kind of exciting stuff there if you're if you've ever used the WordPress for iOS app and wanted it to work a way that it didn't. There's some really interesting ideas posted in those screenshots that are worth picking up.
I may actually try to give some contribution there because I have actually tried using the iOS app, and there's been a number of things that I've tried doing. I'm like, why doesn't it do this? I kind of want to throw my iPad, you know, because I like it, you know, especially if you've ever seen me at an event or like somebody called me a tweet plant. And, you know, like I like using that. I like using the iOS app. So I'm going to see if I can add some value there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's get into this whole design thing.
Pixels matter. Really cool stuff there.
Man, I'm really bothered here by this Spreecast email. It's totally off topic, but it's a bit frustrating.
Yeah. So you threw this over. I forget, probably you know, handful of minutes ago, and I was going to stumble through and make it through, but we can talk it through. Why not?
Yeah, well, I mean, we can wait till the after show.
Okay, we'll table it till then. We're getting close anyway.
Good lord.
Yeah. Well.
So I think with that, probably a good time to kind of get into some of our tips of the session, no?
You know, what I like is when we bring on guest hosts that actually run the show. This
Nailed
is so
it.
Mega gigabyte, son.
There it is.
Roll with it, brother. Roll with it. Again, another segue we got to ruin.
Yep.
You guys, you know, all we're missing is a soundboard. You know what I mean?
Missing, you say?
Missing. Oh, boy.
So I guess I'll pick it off. I mean, one of the things that I came across today, it was sent over to me, was this new little plugin that Jonathan Digman put together. And it's the ability to use video as a thumbnail. Now, there are other plugins like this, and I haven't personally used it yet, but I'm planning to look into it a little bit more. But from what I understand about it is it allows you to easily embed WordPress TV. So for you vain types out there that really just like to see yourselves, you can put out a post and in it, the featured image could be yourself just talking.
Hold on.
Man, you just
Robot Tony Max, all of a sudden.
Yeah, you just rolled in a like character, straight up Max Hedstrom, man. That was awesome.
What?
Oh, you're okay now. Okay.
Don't worry about it. Got it.
and then it also helps you integrate with Wistia, I think it's called, Wistia, mm-hmm. Which is not currently supported from what I understand from the plugins. So a quick shout out to Jonathan Dingman and his new little plugin there that allows you to embed video as your featured image on posts.
Very good.
And I put it in chat.
Very neat.
Hey, well, I've got one that's it's a little different. It's Dre's Bar Trick of the Week. I'll tell you, this isn't a plugin, but it is a very cool story about a WordPress-specific development and design shop out of Orange County. These guys, Jeff and Brandon happen to be the organizers of WordCamp Orange County. I think last week I talked about the Orange County WordPress meetup group and how amazing they're growing that community there and the involvement around helping people and so on. Pixel Jar, the company that Brandon and Jeff founded and run. Pixel Jar. They put in and submitted to it's called Mission Small Business. Okay, and what it is it's a kind of a group effort. You come in and you vote for different organizations that are submitted, and if they get a certain amount of votes, they're considered for a grant that's $250,000, and it's for small businesses to continue kind of growing their company. Okay, so they've put in, and as of yesterday, they were like, I think they needed like 250 votes from various people. They were down to like needing like 10 votes, right? Mm-hmm. And that puts them pushes them over the top. So what's exciting to me is I know them. I know the type of event that they put together at WordCamp Orange County. I know the type of work that they do. I know their involvement in the WordPress community, so it's very exciting to me to see a shop like that and two really kick-ass guys right at that point of really maybe getting the help to make them even more awesome than they are now. So if you get a chance, go to their site, pixeljar.net. On the right-hand bottom part of the site, you're going to see a big logo for this Mission Small Business piece. Click through and vote for them. Let's give them a seat at the table and see what happens. I sure would love to see them win it, and I hope the best for them. So pixeljar.net when you get a chance.
Woot, woot.
Very cool stuff.
I can dig it.
So I am tempted to name two to be that
Do
guy.
It. I think Dude, I will. Be that guy. You would have left it up to Tony. Tony has like eight of them.
I had to just drop him in there. Dre's like, dude, you only got time for one. I was like, dude, this is like my one shot, man. I gotta blow my load quick, man. You know what I mean?
I hear you. So the first one I want to list off is actually, let me grab the link to it. It's a plugin that I developed over the weekend. So of course it's one of my favorites. Dude.
Yes.
This plugin is specifically for people who use P2. It's called P2 Check-In. And basically what it does is it's a widget, and I just dropped it in the chat for those who want to see it right now. It gives you a widget that you drop into your P2 theme sidebar, preferably towards the top, and it gives you a button on the site that says either I'm here or I'm leaving. And if you click I'm here, then it counts you as checked in, and you display in the top of the sidebar there, and it shows how long you've been checked in. And then when you check out, it shows you as checked out for about 30 minutes or so, and then you kind of fade away. And it's just kind of a cool way to – the language is kind of purposely vague so that it can kind of apply to – the situation that I created it for is for a local meetup or actually co-working space here in Fort Wayne. And we found ourselves like texting around a lot to try to find who was actually there. And so we already had this P2 set up, so like, well, why don't we just like figure out a way to like check into it? And we, you know, tried to leave, like I said, the language vague so that it could be used for a physical location, which is probably a weird situation for P2. Could also be used just kind of for saying I'm attentively on this page, like I'm watching it, I'm here, I'm available. Could be just I'm working on stuff and I'm actually kind of checked in, whatever that means for your different group. But
we gotta get the core team and all the folks that are using all those P2s for core to embed this. It's such a simple little feature, but it's such a cool feature. You know what I mean? It allows you to check in, and you can actively see who's there and who's not, and who can engage without kind of guessing, like, is he going to respond to me?
Yeah.
But then now it puts the onus on you to actually respond.
Now they know.
So if you want to respond, just check out real quick, see the response, like, the hell of that, I'm out of here.
Oh, snaps, Tony showed up. I'm out.
There's also the fun sort of embedded competitive side of it, because it keeps a running total of how long you've been checked in. So that displays as well, which is kind of fun for, especially in the case of like a co-working space where people are getting together and kind of building things and doing all sorts of stuff. It makes people want to stay there longer and do more stuff, which I think is kind of a cool byproduct of a plugin to kind of
get
for people.
Get those folks to be like, I was on it all day.
Exactly. People are just going to start sleeping there.
Yeah. How long until they start really gaming this? Man, I've been here for 3 weeks. Bro, everybody left like after 4 hours, bro. What's going on?
You've got everybody sufficiently beaten. Don't worry.
Yeah, that's the guy that checks into the same spot like six times. I'm here. I'm the mayor.
Exactly. Yeah, the people who are going nuts.
I don't even know if you could do that anymore, but yeah.
You know, I'm sure there's a way. Where there's a will, there's a way.
There's always a way.
And I think even though I said I had two, I think I'm going to hold off because the second one is still in beta. And I'm excited because I have been testing it along with them, but I'll hold off because I think they're getting pretty close to releasing it. So
very awesome.
Talk about it in a future show.
Folks, so we at the beginning of the show, we talked a little bit about what we've been up to. Ryan and I have been working on a one sheet to maybe talk to some folks about how they can help in raising the stakes here for WP Late Night. We're excited to be able to bring out some crazy antics every week and maybe a little bit of WordPress around some of the beer drinking that we do.
Yeah.
With that, if you know anybody that may be interested in helping out the show or becoming a part of it from a partner perspective, make sure to hit us up. You know where to find us, wpcandy.com. We've got presence there under the podcast area, so you can find us there. Obviously, you can find Ryan or myself on Twitter. We have the WP Late Night Facebook page. which if you're not following, you suck. You need to be a part of that pretty quickly.
Which actually, what's our number there right now? We're doing pretty good.
We were up like around 80 last time I checked. Very close to that.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, about 80 folks following us there. Hopefully, we're at 77. So hopefully we continue to grow that. I think we'll start to see more movement there, more interaction. We'd love to hear ideas from you folks for the show. So if anything comes up, feel free to drop it there or on WPCandy.com, and we can move on from there to making some WP late night magic. Tony, I can't thank you enough for coming on board. I appreciate you helping out with the show this evening.
I just want to point it out that it's 6:01 and we started about 5 minutes late, so we kept this within an hour.
This is actually.
I'm not going to say that I had a play in that. I'm just saying.
It's the shortest.
Yeah, this would be the shortest episode. Our intention is to never have you back on the show again, Tony. So thank you.
Just wanted to get through this as quickly as possible, to be honest.
Wait, that was pretty painless, Ryan. Now we drink heavy.
Yeah, the Band-Aid is off, as they say. No, of course, we're just kidding. Stick around if you're in the chat room or listening. We'll do the after show after this, which is, as many people refer to, the real show. I think that does it. You already read off everything. WP Candy on Twitter, WPCandy.com. You know all that stuff. Catch us next week whenever we announce that we'll be having it. And we'll be joined by Lisa Sabin-Wilson, which should be a lot of fun. So thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next week.
WP Late Night for Dummies.